Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. You haven't tuned in before. This is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now, we are up to episode 3 of season 7. It is called Interface. It was directed by Robert Vimer, written by Joe Manosky, and it aired back on October 17th, 1993. In this episode, Geordi LaForge uses an experimental interface to his visor to try and reach his missing mother, a Starfleet captain. Modi Operandis is here to talk about this one. So right after this, me and Modi are going to go deep on what might be Geordi's best episode. Yay? Nay? Anyway, it's Interface right after this.
Mom? Mom?
Hello, Geordi.
Mom, how did you get here?
I'm not really with you, Geordi. I'm on my ship, on the surface. We were pulled into a warp funnel.
That's just what I thought. How are we communicating?
We found a way to send a subspace signal that could cut through the atmospheric interference.
Geordi, are you seeing the image of your mother?
Yes. And she's just confirmed everything I've been saying.
I'm reading unusual subspace energy in your vicinity, similar to what the probe sensor recorded the first time you encountered your mother.
That's how she's communicating with me.
You can tell when the episode really loves the title, or it knows what the title is going to be, when they throw the word in 5,000 goddamn times into the script of the episode.
Looking back at the interface.
He's like, I must have been interfaced with the interface improperly when the interface was going on. They say interface approximately a million times in this episode.
Approximately.
It's a good title. It's interesting. Well, guys, welcome back. We're in season 7 of TNG. This is episode 3 of season 7. We're getting the Geordi storyline that, hey, Modi, it's not about him falling in love with a fake person.
I do like that he's actually not as stupid as they've made him out to be in previous episodes for him this time around. He's still kind of portrayed in kind of a weird manner here, but he's not stupid this time around.
Interesting. I think he's incredibly stupid in this episode.
Well, he's in denial.
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
Okay.
And he's not, I mean, I can forgive that more than I can forgive him being in love, I guess. I can forgive grief more than I can love.
I just realized we moved and now I commute into the city 2 times a week. So I take the train and my train ride is 45 minutes. And I realized that I can download on Amazon Prime onto my phone the episodes. So I've been watching them that way. And Amazon Prime does this weird thing where it's kind of like pop-up video. If you touch the screen while you're watching it, sort of trivia pops up at you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The X-ray thing.
Exactly. And the thing here that I never realized is, like, this is the... I can't remember what... It's like the third or fourth episode where Geordi falls for a holographic thing or something like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that was a character arc for him, but apparently it is.
Yep. He constantly is trying to believe things that aren't really there.
Right.
Constantly.
That says a lot about
his character. He's just prone to it.
Yeah. He's seeing love in all the wrong places and everything.
And his mom in all the wrong places.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the episode where, you know, season 7, people have been clamoring, show us what Geordi's parents look like. So this is the episode where they allowed that to happen. We meet both Mr. LaForge and Mrs. LaForge. And I guess the general plot here is the Enterprise is working on some kind of probe technology where they can send a probe into dangerous situations and Geordi can interface with it, where he can plug his visor in. And because he's interfaced with the probe, he can see and be in wherever the probe is. So it's basically like the character of Geordi is in these sort of dangerous areas and he can do stuff. They pair that with the fact that Geordi's mother's ship, the Hera, is gone missing. And Captain LaForge, Geordi's mother, is missing and presumed dead. And Geordi sees her on this rescue mission where he's sending himself down via the probe
to this ship that's stuck in a star, I think, or stuck on a planet or something with a dangerous atmosphere. And he goes down there to rescue the ship, and he sees his mother, and he realizes that he's going insane, and the crew doesn't believe that his mother's there. He insists it's his mother, and so on and so forth. Modi, I've talked a lot. What'd you think of Interface?
It is not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
When I first heard this one, I was like, oh, this is going to be really bad. But it was actually, like I said, I am more forgiving of Geordi here than his previous attempts to make love to the holodeck.
Yes.
Here, it's like, yeah, he's going crazy. They don't play it well enough that you think he could be right.
Yes.
I know from, you know, other Star Trek things that he's not wrong. Like, people disappear sometimes. I mean, you have all of Voyager, you have all of you know, people just warp, going through, you know, warp holes and that kind of thing, wormholes and such things like that. So it's like, it happens. It happens all the time with incredible frequency that it could just be disappeared, still alive out there. Functionally, I don't know how that really helps you a whole lot, because if she's gone, she's gone.
Right.
And you still got to deal with the grief somehow. So clinging to, like, oh, my mom's still out there alive, I have to go find her, and somehow miraculously she's on the very planet I'm on, and how somehow miraculously I'm right about every single thought I've had regarding the situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That, okay. You gotta understand. You might be overplaying your hand a little bit there, but he's not at the premise. He's not wrong that she could still be out there, but he's not. He's kind of in denial about his grief and not want to deal with it.
I agree.
Again, if he can't find her, she's gone. Like, it's space, man. People just go missing. It's a lot of space out there.
I sort of agree that I think what they were trying to do was make it seem like his story of not knowing what happened to her, because he has like that conversation with like three different people where he's like, until I get a body, I don't accept that this is the case.
And that's totally a human emotion I can understand.
Yes,
you know what I mean? I can see that, and that's something that makes sense to me compared to the other past things he's done.
I don't think the episode does a good job of propping up that perspective on him, because the other crew members are 100% sure that the ship is gone. And I was thinking,
I don't think they commit to the idea that he could be right. If they explored, like, give us some reason that he might be, but every single thing it comes up with is some like far-fetched, low probability thing that Data's like, yeah, it's possible, it's very unlikely.
Right.
Like, that's his phrase a lot of time here. And again, the episode doesn't do us any favors of making us think he could be right.
Right.
So yeah, I think I agree there.
And it's not just one thing. They're like, why would the ship be here? It was 300 light years away. He's like, well, whatever. And they're like, well, how could it even be on the surface? The pressure would crush anybody down. It's like everything keeps
piling
into it.
Maybe they got a warp field. Like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
And his, like, I think that the way I think that Geordi's stupid in this episode is that he has a very irrational take based on the amount of evidence that's coming at him. To the point where he has a scene with Troy where Troy basically says that he's suffering from a psychotic breakdown. And that, like, I was wondering why he's allowed to go back to work at this point.
Relieve him of duty for a while. Don't let him interface with the interface anymore.
Don't use that interface. Troy basically says that he has created an alternate reality to shield himself from the pain of his mother's death. And he's done it in such a way that he's made it impossible to prove that his new reality is fake.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, that's...
She nails it. She pins it on the head, yeah.
She pins it down.
Okay, so they don't do enough of that, though. Like, they don't do him actually having a breakdown here. What they do have is him getting duped by another alien. Like, so he's not to blame, I guess, in that regard, because he has outside influences causing him to see and feel these things.
Yeah.
That make him think these things. I wish that they had committed to it. They could still do the whole alien thing and just commit to that he might be losing his mind a little bit more.
Right.
He's losing his judgment for certain. He's lost his judgment. She'll make that clear. But you still believe that he has his faculties aside, but then you find out it's aliens, bro. So...
I mean, I totally agree with all of that. I'm sort of surprised now that you've said that they don't make the interface, like, admit in the script that the interface is doing something to him neurologically. You know, like, he's perfect for the job, but it actually is sort of, you know, like, poisonous to him in some way, where he has to use the interface to help these people, but it's also driving him a little bit crazy, and he can't be sure what he's actually seeing anymore.
And they don't explore that even.
No.
Like, I wish they had gone deeper into that idea. Like, I thought there was going to be some type of addiction to the feeling that this thing can cause, how he has extra senses. He has all of his senses and more when he has this thing, which he does. And some type of addiction that way maybe is where they're going to go with it originally. But yeah, they don't get into that part of it at all. They don't really explore that. First of all, again, they don't make him plausible in one bit, and then they don't commit to him actually going crazy too much either.
Right.
So it's just not too worthwhile.
Did the probe make much sense to you? My understanding, explain to me if this is right. Is there actually like a robot down on the ship that's walking around?
There is a probe that is a cylinder that may or may not have like grabber arms coming off of it. they show him in a reflection at one point in the cold open, I think it is.
Oh, do
they? He's admiring how handsome he is, and he sees what the probe looks like in the reflection of a window.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I thought there was no shot of the probe whatsoever.
No, it looks like a white cylinder that looks like a probe droid, but doesn't have the arms that a probe droid from Star Wars would have.
Gotcha.
But it looks like a white cylindrical thing that doesn't seem like you would have any way of picking anything up at its outset.
Yeah, he says it has I guess it has tractor beams and a phaser, because he uses
that
both.
That makes
of the...
sense, because it doesn't have arms or anything like that. It's not an android or anything like that. It's just a cylinder.
Okay. Yeah, it's basically like a tiny starship, because it has the tractor beam and phasers that, you know, it's sort of a weird technological thing. I think that this script falls apart a little bit once you start picking it apart. You know, it's a little ridiculous that when, you know, 1983, they discovered the Titanic by sending a tiny ship down with a camera that they could see. You know what I mean? It's crazy to me that they can't just send images back of what the thing is looking at and like sort of go around like that.
Because that would solve the problem of the plot here. I just sent you an image of the thing.
Oh, okay. I'll take a look at this guy. Do, do, do. Yeah, so I mean, it's sort of an it looks ridiculous. I guess the problem is that, like, this also ties into Liaison. This might be a season 7 type of thing. Season 7 is not regarded as particularly well, but in Liaisons, the episode before this, me and Clay were talking about how this could have all been avoided if the aliens had just explained what they were doing, because there's no hostile intent behind their actions. Why did the aliens disguise themselves as Geordi's dead mother and not just say, hey, could you drive our ship down to the surface so that we can get unstuck from where we are?
Right. That would solve all issues. And it's a weird thing the show does of... when they do that, there's no villains. You know what I mean? Like, there's no bad guy. It's just misunderstandings and that kind of thing. So, like, they don't have, like you say, evil intent that gets around the whole business of, oh, this is not a sympathetic being that we should be helping kind of thing.
Right.
The fact that they do look like fire demons probably doesn't help it if they were in their normal form.
That's true. And the fact that they can shoot, like, laser beams into your head or whatever that was.
They've like, melted the brains of most of the other crew, and that might not... I mean, intent or no, you might want to just not let this species be out there rolling around.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, they seem to be stuck in this sun or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
I was just struck by that. It's like, this could all have just been resolved very easily. Yeah. If they
just
explained.
Be upfront, man. Be honest with each other.
Be upfront. Be clear. Be exactly what you need to do. And the other thing that I thought that this show was more interesting for the character interactions, even though I think Geordi's written too melodramatically in this, but I like the way that he interacts with Data, Geordi, and Picard.
Yes, there's a lot of good character scenes here of letting... the actors all kind of have their own takes and they take their own approaches with them.
Yep.
I feel like. And, you know, Data's very, like, literal. And
it's a great Data scene with the poetry, I love poetry that scene. Thing. Yeah.
And Riker is got a lot of emotion, and he's trying to relate and empathizing, and Picard is kind of a buck up, I guess, kind of thing.
Yeah, Picard's he's still commanding officer, but after he chastises you, he calls you by your first name and says, like, I'm sorry about your dead mother.
Sorry about this. Yes.
Yeah, I guess it's just the fact that it's like, the episode doesn't really have a sort of central thread to what it's trying to do, like we were talking about. There's no interest in the Geordi sort of dealing with loss / losing his mind kind of thing. The other crew know exactly that that's not the case. This can't be his mother. Something crazy is going on. The probe thing is uninteresting in a sense that I don't really understand it beyond this is kind of a cool story to do. Why don't we do it? And the melodrama of Geordi suffering this loss, and also we've never met his mother before, so it doesn't really matter to me. I didn't even think he had a mother. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. The first thing that we never heard of just came up. Now I guess they did do the one scene with him watching the voicemails.
Yes.
That seemed like it was a little more humanizing and giving some history there, which was it was pretty good. But it's kind of weird to have to throw in a parent that you've never heard of that have them going through this emotional distress. You can't go on that ride with them.
I was hoping he'd see Aquiel's sort of voice logs next to his mother's. He'd still have those things. That would have been nice. Yeah, I find Geordi sort of unbelievable in this one. There's just so much evidence going against what he's trying to convince them of. The fact that no one says, like, maybe you should take a couple days off is a little weird. Riker does, I guess, at the start, but Geordi says,
and he gets talked out of it.
Yeah. And the fact that it's just they say interface a million goddamn times. It's a typical, this is a Joe Manosky script, and it kind of strikes me as a Manosky thing. It's like a better idea than what's going on with it. Did you have any like, sort of, let's see, what was your, so what part of this do you think was like the salvageable core that you would have run with if you were to remake it?
Oh boy. I think you gotta, again, commit to him being crazy and really commit to either making us have a reason to believe he's right in a plausible way.
Yep.
Or fully commit to him being, I mean, we I guess he's the perspective character on this. We have to, like, see things through his lens.
His visor.
So, his visor, exactly. We have to see the world through his visor. So, it has to be something more going on that makes him be losing, like, even if it's going to be crazy, make him lose his mind a little more, make him see her other places. And then also the reason of the interface needs to be really developed further. They use the interface here, and it seems like, does the interface exist for this episode?
Right.
Because the interface thing does not work. There's a way to make this episode work without the interface, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yes. I don't know what the point of the interface is, really. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, because, well, I guess it's just because he has to be isolated from the rest of the crew. Because
he's already got a visor that sets him apart from the crew. They could just use what's there.
Yeah.
And he is already seeing the world in a different way than they are.
Right.
So, you know.
Right, because he's still
able to see tachyons or something like that. So yeah. He can see that his mom is still there on the ship with him, something like that. And, like, give us a reason to believe it's true. We suspend our disbelief a lot for this show. Just give us a reason to trust Geordi on this.
Right, just one thing.
But there's
thing.
No reason for us to at all as viewers.
I mean, I get that the, because even in the episode, they're sort of operating under the assumption it's not really his mother that they're seeing. Yeah. Like, if it is his mother, it's a holographic representation of her. So you'd think his visor would be a good enough way to go about doing that. But they really just wanted to do that expensive sort of interface thing and put him in that suit and all that stuff. I'll tell you what I was surprised by. I was a little bit surprised that his mother remains dead at the end of the episode.
maybe they were they know this is gonna be the last season, right?
They knew,
but they don't have all of it written necessarily,
right? They knew this was the last season,
so maybe they were thinking they could bring that back around at some point.
I just felt like it was
send off.
I felt like it was almost unnecessary, because the episode isn't doing a good enough job on sort of like remembrance and like sort of thinking about death. Like, the episode isn't concerned with that really, so it feels very flippant that they just sort of bring her on and she's dead, and then she doesn't even come back at the end. And I think the only problem would have been insane Geordi would have been right at the end, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, he still could be right, is the thing. Like, yeah, he's finally accepted his grief, but he's still not necessarily wrong that she could still show up.
That's the other thing I was thinking. I was surprised at the end that Picard didn't say they found the wreckage of the
Hera. Yeah, I thought the way it looked, like, so in the last scene, or one of the last scenes, it has, you know, Geordi back in the interface, and he's down on the planet. Picard walks in the room, sees what him and Data are doing, and I thought at that point, he's like, Data, they found your mother's wreckage.
Oh, sure.
Whatever you're doing right now is not real. Finally accepted, and maybe make him freak out at that point. Maybe make him flip. Maybe make him lose his mind, where he's not willing to accept. And that would actually show us that he is going crazy, beyond a shadow of doubt. We already know he's not to be taken seriously here. But
that's
show his descent in madness a little bit. Then, like, he's not even willing to accept the truth at this point.
Yeah,
I honestly thought he's going to come in and say that, and that's what was going to spark him awake finally to see the truth. But they didn't even go that way.
No, they didn't go that way. I am surprised that they don't just confirm her death, which I guess is how you'd run a show if you wanted to, some reason, bring this person back.
They don't ever close any windows.
Right.
Around here.
Yeah. You just got to leave everything open, available. A lot of great Patrick Stewart acting in an episode that's kind of ridiculous for him. Like, when he's with Geordi, when Geordi's interfacing and Picard is just like, Geordi, can you hear me? Patrick Stewart does
right
a good
here, man.
Patrick Stewart does a good job there with some terrible material that he's forced to deal with. It's kind of a silly little episode. Even though I like the idea of it, I don't think it really pulls it all together all that well. Huh.
I feel like they're burning through good ideas just to use them. Like, the interface feels like, again, like, there's no reason for it to be here. They could have wrote this a different way.
Yep.
But I think it's an idea they had, they wanted to use, and so they just burned it on this one.
It actually is. Like, I mean, let me see here. So I was looking up this. Let's see if I can do this a little bit here. The initial story, which was pitched two seasons earlier, had Riker in the virtual reality suit, who he's troubled by the death of his father and seeing scenes of growing up in his Alaska cabin. This was changed due to Riker having recently done a mind trip episode in Frame of Mind and the logic of using the visor implants. So,
right,
it doesn't sound anything. It's funny that that's the original story, because Riker's story fits in fairly perfectly with that.
Oh, they already had it written, so they got to use it someplace.
Right, they have to use it someplace. I don't know what I feel that would have been better, just because we've established the fact that Riker has a father and we've met him. I don't know. They would have had to pair it with some ridiculous sci-fi, you know, and that probably would have knocked down the Riker storyline a little bit in my eyes.
That probably still wouldn't have been a good episode.
No,
if they had done it that way with Riker, yeah. Didn't sound like a good episode to me. I'm glad they switched it. This does sound better than that was, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what we would care about Riker's growing up in an Alaska cabin storyline. That would be a strange thing to talk about. Anyway, that's kind of the you mentioned this sort of burning through ideas. I feel that's a kind of a thing about season 7 and season 1. Someone mentioned this on YouTube, I think a comment, and I started to think about it. Imagine if they took the season 1 scripts and shot them in season 7. Do you think it would be drastically improved by that point, or would it be something worth doing, I guess, would be my question to you. Do you think that because in my opinion, they wasted some good ideas in the season one.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing them have brought some of those ideas back again and explored, like, the same thing, finally understanding what the show is, kind of, maybe.
Right.
Being a little bit better at writing, a little better at understanding the show and the actors.
Yeah.
And that'd be kind of fun to see if they would brought some of those ideas back forward and use them again.
Right. Just do a redo. I would gladly, yeah. If the show was still on and they were like, we don't have any ideas for season 8, I would gladly just say redo season 1 episodes.
Yeah, they do regurgitate a lot of ideas again. Like there was some in season 6 I remember that we kind of like, this feels like something that happened before.
We just got done just talking about
different perspective.
You know, Geordi's falling for holographic things that aren't there.
Yeah, happens again and again.
And
yeah.
Also, I mean, it's getting really tiresome at this point of the it's an alien in disguise resolution.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty. Yeah, we've watched this show long enough now that like we're pretty sure. I mean, we're a skeptical audience. I mean, we know they don't. I guess they're not playing to that now. Then maybe what's going on? Like they're not playing to an audience that's already. The jig's already up before they start, kind of thing.
Sure.
Like, we know as soon as he sees his mother, okay, that's an alien trying to communicate, virus, something like that, getting on board.
Running through all the scenarios.
Okay, so it's a computer virus trying to get on board the Enterprise, trying to escape, so they're going to use the interface to get through there. Okay, probably not that. It's some type of alien entity that's going to possess him. Okay, maybe that.
Yep.
It's some type of creature that's going to, you know, need his help. Oh, it's that. Okay, fine.
Right.
Yeah.
that's the answer. Oh, it's a dog. That's the actual killer.
It was the dog the entire time. Turned into a slob monster, yeah.
It should have been the dog. The dog survived from Aquiel, and it made it down to this ship, and Geordi was there. Yeah, I think we're done talking about this one, though. We're going to give our... I'm going to play an audio clip. That's what I'm going to do first. And then we're going to come back and give our final thoughts and ratings for Interface.
I've been exploring the possibility of using a tractor beam to pull the Raman from the atmosphere. However, the high level of interference prevents a positive lock.
If we set up some sort of relay system.
That is my conclusion as well, Commander. Two shuttlecraft staggered between the Enterprise and the Raman, with their shields adjusted to refocus the tractor beam.
Can we get the shuttles close enough without danger, Miss LaForge?
Sure. Yeah. As long as we keep them both above the troposphere, that'll be all right.
And in that case...
But... What about the Hera? We'd be leaving my mother and her crew stranded on the planet.
Commander.
I've been thinking about this. A couple of weeks ago, I got a message from my mother. She said she had a new chief engineer who had been experimenting with a warp drive. Now, I've seen the Hera. It uses trionic initiators in the warp coil. They have a reputation for strange side effects, especially when you start playing around with them.
There have been reports of warp bubbles and other subspace deformations.
So... What if that's what happened? Not a warp bubble, but a subspace funnel.
Connecting two points through subspace?
Well, the Hera could have accidentally created a distortion that emptied out right here at Meridian 7.
Why here?
Well, the Hera passed by this planet just 10 days ago. Now, there's an awful lot of subspace disturbance in the atmosphere. The ship could have accidentally picked up some residual traces that directed the funnel right back here.
So the Hera's in one piece, somewhere out there.
Well, maybe it's being surrounded by some kind of warp field, but who knows for how long?
Mr. LaForge, do you have any evidence to support this hypothesis?
Well, I did pick up some pretty strange subspace readings when I was interfaced with the probe.
Geordi, that could have been anything.
Yeah, but I talked to her, Commander. She asked me to bring the Raman closer to the planet.
Mr. Data, is any of this possible?
Yes, sir. However, it is highly unlikely.
How unlikely?
Nearly impossible, sir.
Interface. We're churning through season 7 here. Let's see. Why don't you start with what you thought about this one on our 1 to 5 scale? I'm kind of interested.
On a 1 to 5 scale, this episode, as I said, I didn't dislike this episode as much as I thought I was going to. It's still not a very strong episode. It might be strong for a Geordi episode.
That's,
and it has
that's
some
true.
Good. It gets some good ideas here that were worth exploring, and I like the interaction with Data and Geordi and Riker and Geordi and Picard and Geordi. Those scenes, even Deanna and Geordi, was a pretty good scene.
Yeah, it's a good scene.
Where I wish they'd taken a little bit further though than I guess they did. I would say a 2.5.
Interesting. Okay. I think I agree with that, and it's a little bit shocking. If this is the best Geordi storyline, I'm trying to rack my
2.5.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything that he would be in that's better than this, and I can't really think. I mean, Next Phase is kind of a Geordi storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's a pure Geordi story, though. Interesting. Anyway, outside of that, I think I'm going to give this one a 3. Because it's better than Liaisons, which was last week, which I gave a 2. I think this is a pretty average episode that if you don't think about it too much, it's probably better than it was. What was your sort of... For me, this episode peaked early, and then it kind of was just a sort of downhill slide to the end. Did you feel the same way, or were you? Would you have a different opinion about it?
No, I'd agree with that. I think by the time they put him back in the interface again, and he's interfacing with the interface, I feel like it's kind of gone off the rails. Then
I was a little bit
when he's exploring his grief and he's in denial. He's clearly in denial, and then he sees his mother on the thing, and he starts making a ton of excuses of why this is possible.
Yeah.
And you're already like, okay, it's just whatever is there. It can read your thoughts, and it's giving you what you think is going on, and it continues that way. So the jig is up as soon as he gets back in the interface a second time. So I think that's about where it goes downhill.
I was a little bit surprised he only went into the interface twice on the show.
Yeah, well, they hold open, then they go back in, and then yeah, he's on the ship there twice. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember the episode. I thought he was down there a lot more than he actually is, but they really can't have him down there for that long because it would stop making sense. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a 3. I think that's true, and I think I agree with what Clay was saying in the last episode. Outside of the fact that the resolution should have been brought up a whole bunch earlier, the show is now at a point where the character interactions can carry a bad episode, and I enjoy watching the characters talk to each other, even if the sci-fi plotting is kind of stupid around it. And that's pretty much it. It's not a memorable episode or anything. It's not great. So we meet Geordi's parents. Whoopee. That's fun.
Yeah.
We're
fine. They're fine. We're both decent enough. Yeah. One other question too. Like, what happened to the interface? Why isn't we never hear from this thing again? And that's another frustrating part about this. If at the end of this thing with the interface, you have to have a reason that it's not part of the show, why it's not a regular. You just introduce a new cast member and it's not still here.
Yeah, it should become like Geordi's like battle armor where he controls the thing. And yeah, you think they'd use his visor ability a little bit more than they do.
If he's not going through a ton of grief and he can actually interface it with it in safe levels, there's no reason for him to ever leave the thing.
Yeah.
Just let him be.
And also, why was he so picky about seeing in color? He's been blind.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird, too. Like, you don't normally see in color, buddy. You know that, right?
How do you know what color is? You don't know. You just
he's just obsessed. He's seen the world for what it is now, and he's like, oh, my God, this is what I've been missing.
Yeah. Yeah, that must be it. I did appreciate the fact that they lead you into the cold open knowing something's off just because he's not wearing the visor, which I thought was a nice touch.
Well, they also like play to the nerd card in me immediately because they're like, they like make him smell some gases.
Yes.
And he's like, I smell chlorine, ammonia. Like, dude, that's like mustard gas, dude. You just sniffed mustard gas.
that's true. Yeah. I guess he's locked into the probe or something and knows exactly what's going on with it.
And he's like, this is 2000 degrees. I'm going to press on. And so you're like, okay, now the jig's up. I get it. Okay, fine.
And the last sort of thing I'll point out is that, it's one of those things you just start noticing when the episodes aren't particularly strong. Why does his mother not react crazily to seeing a probe floating at her?
Yeah, exactly. He forgets that he's a probe.
Yep.
Ugh. This episode's a mess. I'm glad I gave it a 2.5 now.
Yeah, I think it's in between there. I'll round it up to a 3, but just all cancel right, out that. But not a great episode by any stretch of the imagination. Just one of those average things. Guys, let me know in the upper right-hand corner of the YouTube video what you thought about this one. You can vote in the poll on our 1 of 5. You can go to facebook.com/thepenskepodcast. Leave your thoughts and comments there. Leave a comment here. You can go to iTunes, all the ratings and review, all the podcatchers. Rate the show everywhere you can. And if you're really enamored with what we do, you can go to patreon.com/thepenskepodcast. Give a couple bucks to get exclusive content. We just recorded a Rick and Morty.
Exclusive Modi content.
That's right. Modi, exclusive Modi content. We just did a Rick and Morty episode. Clay has done a couple episodes of that. You can get Jurassic Park, all that stuff. Go to patreon.com/thepenskepodcast. Guys, thanks very much for listening. Modi, thank you for coming on and talking interface with me.
No problem.
I'm glad we could interface via the Skype. And, yes. I didn't have any hallucinations as we were going through this.
I wasn't wearing my my exo suit, so it didn't quite work the same way.
Yeah, and now you're just going to explode into a fireball, and that'll be the end of it. Guys, thank you very much for listening, and I will interface with you later.